Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from the year 2000 before. Well, actually, 20 years ago and before. We're here with Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Engage.
Mackenzie.
wrong
Hi.
Lisa.
Live long and prosper.
What are these like?
Isn't they say that? Cassandra.
Hey.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin, and today we're watching... Well, we're suffering through the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah. Drink!
Drink!
Yes,
I think we all need one.
Yes. It's going to be a long episode.
Yay!
Where's the blue eggnog?
What? I did have to explain to Mackenzie, because she said, am I going to enjoy this? And I was like, no, we're going to hate watch it. And she's like, yay! Yes!
Can we do Mac and Me soon?
You seen Mac and Me?
Yeah, we hate watching it.
Oh, wow.
This is from 1978, and it was originally aired on CBS, probably against the wishes of almost everybody involved, except for the director.
Now, this assumed it would make money.
They just assumed it would make money.
Because, like, Star Wars was the highest grossing film at the time, so, like, ooh, money. But, yeah.
Dollar signs.
Yeah. Apparently it almost killed off the franchise there and then. Has anybody watched this before?
Nope.
No?
No?
Yes.
No. We've got one that's actually watched this and she's back.
I have also watched this, thank you very much.
You've watched this as well. Yes. You're both suffering.
Not together though.
Oh,
okay.
So you get the joints.
Yeah, I watched this before I met you.
Same.
Came across it back in the day when I was single.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm dead on the inside.
Were you subjected to it, or did you willfully seek it out?
I was subjected to it by myself.
Ah.
That sounds like you willfully sought it out.
No. Not a sense of emotion. You did the thing that you hate because you want to subject yourself to a bad thing. I understand.
Look, I was not the biggest Star Wars fan back then, like way back when, and so... When I found out that the holiday special was the most awful thing in the world, I went and looked for it so that I could watch it and talk about how amazing it was. I didn't hate watch it. I watched it with the intent on loving it and quoting it to people. And I did.
Oh, not even ironically, just like genuinely, yeah. Not because I was thinking you might mean in terms of, it's amazing to annoy your friends who like Star Wars, just to be the most amazing thing of Star Wars is the holiday special.
Yeah.
Just to make them cringe.
Literally. Yeah.
So you didn't genuinely enjoy it.
I think it was fun, off of memory.
Mm.
I don't entirely remember. It was long enough ago that my brain damaged.
Yeah.
that I don't remember it entirely. But I remember I did enjoy it.
Well, we'll get a second review.
We will.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Angus? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, God, no. I watched it when I was a Star Wars fan, so I was watching The Clone Wars.
Did this stop you from being a Star Wars fan?
No, it didn't. It made me sympathise with every actor that was forced to be a part of it. It's horrendous. It's really bad. I think I skipped the last minute just because it was a song that led into the credits, and I'm like, okay, I've seen to the end now. But I went into it knowing it was awful. I knew I wasn't going to like it. And because of that, I laughed at it as opposed to with it. And I hate watched it. Yeah.
Do you think Mark Hamill had his accident on purpose to try and get
So Mark Hamill had a pretty bad accident and needed... Apparently, he had to get a lot of plastic surgery, but I heard him say that wasn't true, but...
Maybe it was exaggerated.
He looks weird.
He does not look like Mark Hamill, and I had to double-check it when I watched it. Because I was that's not Mark Hamill.
Hamill
cannot be him.
Hamill has so much caked on makeup that he might as well have just stepped off the stage after playing a pantomime dame.
It's Uncanny Valley, Barbie dolls sort of thing. Yeah. And because we saw, it was a year ago, we watched him on The Muppet Show and he was in his element.
Yes. But in this, he does. He just doesn't look real. He doesn't look like Mark Hamill. It's disturbing.
I don't know how you can tell. I've watched about 10 seconds of it and it looks fuzzy as anything.
Oh, it looks so fuzzy. It's from VHS back in
the day. It's not even really VHS. Shiny. It's because he looks really, really NTS, shiny. Yeah.
Mm. But he's only in it for like a minute, so I wouldn't worry about it so much.
The costumes are cheap, the makeup even cheaper. So I'm reading from an article from The Guardian here that was a few weeks ago, which I will put a link up to.
Because there's a documentary that's come out about
this. Yes, that's right. Yeah. It's called A Disturbance in the Force. And it was released, I think, early
like
a month ago.
It's just come out at Palace Nova. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's not
the documentary or
the documentary. And because I went like, well, I'm absolutely not going to see it. We've been meaning to do
this for so long. And of course, this article and...
Yeah, the documentary.
Sudden resurgence.
Yes. Mm. It's coincidental.
Look, I joke about it. You know, every time Star Wars gets mentioned, I take a little nip of gin from underneath the desk. I guess it's not become a joke now. It's almost time for an intervention, but because it happens so often.
Please don't take it away from me.
One of the biggest scandals that came out of my 40th birthday, my sister let one of the biggest skeletons out of the closet about my family as a child, which was we never watched Star Wars.
Oh.
And I didn't watch Star Wars till I was a teenager for the first time. So we used to play Trivial Pursuit a lot, but one of the rules in the family edition of Trivial Pursuit that we would play was if there was ever a Star Wars question, we could automatically skip it because none of us knew the answers. And I just remember we did all of the speeches as a family and you all individually came up to me and went, what the world? How could this be? You're in a cult TV podcast and you've never watched Star Wars as a kid. And it was like, I grew up with Trekkies.
I didn't watch it until I started going out with Justin. I'd never seen the films. So the third one came out while I was living in London. But I didn't watch it, and my friend that I was travelling with, who was a big sci-fi fan, was never into the films. I was just chatting to her on the phone earlier, and she's got into Mandalorian, so she's just getting into it.
The Mandalorian is definitely a gateway drama.
Yes.
I never saw this when it was around at the time, because it was only on bootleg video, so you couldn't really get to see it.
But
it's actually more available now than it was back then.
Weird Al Yankovic, in one of his music videos, White Nerdy, he's performing what looks to be a drug deal, but he's buying a bootleg version of the holiday special because he just can't get it. Yeah, and it's like a really shady street alley drug deal looking thing.
So I first heard about this when I was getting Star Wars for the boys, and I was after the worst Star Wars thing that I could get. And of course, at the time, that was Caravan of Courage. An Ewok adventure.
I've heard of it.
Straight to TV, straight to Star Wars movies. Because they weren't scared off of that prospect by this well enough.
Yeah, they're thinking money.
And then, of course, I saw this and went, oh my god, this is.
I'm fairly sure they did two and Ewok adventures.
So I snuck these into the collection without the boys knowing.
Series.
Yeah.
There was a cartoon series when I was a kid.
There was also Droids, which I think was another. They did a couple of cartoon series back in ye olde days.
Yeah, back when everything is
Saturday morning cartoons.
We just call it the day. Not ye olde days, back in the day. Don't pick on us. We're old.
I just had my birthday. I was trying to make myself feel
not old. Kids not old. Are you?
No.
You're ancient, mate. 9 years old? You're almost 10. You might as well just give up.
So
don't give up.
Speechless.
But you are pretty old.
Kids in space.
She's halfway to 18 and I can't even.
To be fair, I didn't feel old until I saw a post saying, did you know we're closer to the year 2050 than we are the year 1990?
Yeah,
that made me feel old.
I think it's like I'm at age where I'm retrospectively realizing how old things are. Like, oh, this song's 30 years old. Oh no.
Yeah. Well, you're watching something and you'd seen this actor when you were young, and that actor is young, and now that actor looks really old, and you go, oh, that actor's old.
Just like by reference, this is 50 years old, 1978.
It's 45
years old.
Yes, I've been going and seeing a whole heap of bands this year that are all celebrating their 20th or 21st anniversary of their both biggest album coming out, and I'm like,
Wait, yes, no, if they're at least in the 90s, it'll be 30th.
So I think it's 25th anniversary. Yeah, late 90s.
Yeah, late 90s, 25th. Yeah, because 25 years ago it was 1998.
Oh, god damn it, Cassandra!
Yeah, that's the realisation. It's like, oh, that's old. And realising, like, all the old weird flash animations I used to watch when I was a kid. I'm 20 years old now.
Mackenzie, what's up, buddy?
You know that person who does Jingle Bell Rock?
Jingle Bell Rock,
yeah. That girl, I'm in the Peep Show on Spotify. She's like a teen, and I'm like, oh, how old is she? She's like 30, and Mum's like, she's 17, I'm like...
And that song just went to number one in the charts this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Cassandra,
Star Wars. Yes.
Have you watched this before?
No, but I remember back in the day.
See, it's the day. God.
Stylistic choices, Baylor. Stylistic choices. Anyway, back in ye olden eras of the late 2000s and zeros.
Back in the early Renaissance.
Back when you could actually make a living through watching terrible stuff online and yelling at it. The nostalgia critic, dare I say, went through the entire thing and, yeah, that's the only exposure I've ever had to the actual movie.
So you've seen snippets of it?
Snippets of it, yeah. Right.
And the worst snippets.
Yeah, and basically '30s guy basically screaming at the top of it in pain.
Oh, so you've seen the blackface, the crimson.
No. I've heard they've got Chewbacca's family because they were hoping to introduce it as a spin-off and it never quite happened or something. Yeah.
Pretty close. They introduced Boba Fett in this.
Oh,
this is where Boba Fett, first appearance of Boba Fett.
So this is in between the movies.
And also Life Day came out of this.
Which, despite George Lucas trying to destroy the holiday special and erase all memory of it from
it's still humanity, around.
It's been used in MMOs, they've brought in Life Day with the Hug a Wookiee special thing that you need to perform. And
what's Life Day? Am I going to learn what Life Day is?
It's basically the holiday.
It's basically fake Christmas. Because Jesus doesn't exist in the universe.
I did wonder how that was going to work.
That's why it's a holiday special, not a Christmas special, because there's no Christmas.
It's a Wookiee Christmas.
So it's non-dominant.
Yeah, and also, I'm just thinking of the logistics of, okay, which specific race did Jesus die for?
He did it all for the Wookiees.
So apparently this does have a plot line.
Yes, there is.
Apparently,
you can take that cookie.
This does have a plot line. Does anybody know the plot line?
Yeah.
Yeah, Angus, what's it about?
I think you will experience it as you watch it.
Okay, all right.
Han Solo trying to get Chewbacca back to spend Life Day with his family. So they're trying to get back to Kashyyyk.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I've just realised Harrison Ford's in this. He's just going to look like he wants to die the whole time.
He has denied this has ever existed. Meanwhile, Carrie Fisher, who's also in this, apparently saved a copy on VHS and would play it when she wanted people to leave parties.
Yes! Oh my god!
But doesn't actually remember participating herself.
She's dead now, so
we can't ask her.
Ask her.
So this came out in between the first and the second, or the second and the third?
Well, I mean, technically,
first and the second.
Technically fourth and fifth, because numbers are weird in this.
Oh, series. Yeah, okay,
yeah. But
it came out before The Empire Strikes Back, which was in production. So George Lucas apparently had little to do with this particular product because he was working on the sequel, Empire Strikes Back, which is...
convenient.
Convenient. Yeah. But also, apparently...
An excuse. An alibi.
Extremely disappointed with it, yes.
Oh.
Okay, so are we ready?
Just read the first line.
Cat has been so patient.
Yeah.
She's got like a 6-page document here.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. If there is an event more synonymous with the folly of man than the Star Wars Holiday Special, then no one has yet discovered it.
That is actually a great quote.
If you've had the misfortune of watching it later down the thing, so yes.
Yeah. Okay. That is a good. If there is nothing more synonymous with the folly of man, because it was clearly like, oh, this will work really, really well. People will love this.
Yeah. Well, it's Star Wars. Star Wars is. Yeah. Viewer-friendly.
And a repetition of that folly, we're about to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, are we ready?
The big question is...
We are ready.
There is a question. Is this going to be worse than The Room? That's the question.
Yes. And that's not a question neither me nor Baylor.
No, that's you.
I will hate watch with glee. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Let the pain begin.
And off comes the Band-Aid.
All right.
Star Wars Holiday Special.
Okay, so Lisa is bleeding from the eyes and ears.
Yeah.
Cassandra is gibbering in the corner.
No, you said this my phone the entire time, so I didn't get the full force of it.
Yes. Baylor's chewing her own leg off. Angus just started drooling.
I like that you've just decided how I felt about that. I enjoyed it, except the blackface and the softcore porn. Yeah. Otherwise, I thought it was a lot of fun.
I guess it's the kind of thing you might watch while snorting cocaine. Or...
Oh, man. Imagine watching that without mobile phones, pencil and paper,
Yeah, we were actually just plain watching it. I think we just...
Yeah, we got bored with hate watching it about halfway through and just went, nah, we just checked out.
Lisa, you tapped out 5 minutes in. You were like, I'm done.
I tapped in 1 minute. Well, not 1 minute because I got whatever.
I was taking pictures and making snarky comments on my Facebook stories. So.
And then you said,
and then I got about halfway through and I went,
Facebook story.
Yeah, one of my Facebook stories is just, I am just too bored to hate watch this now. Yeah. I'm just checked out.
Jeanette spent the time doing Photoshop.
Yeah.
Whereas I watched the whole thing and I'm completely brain damaged.
But the issue is, where you've been damaged before.
I haven't been just brain damaged since I saw The Room.
Room had a narrative. It might
not
have
good one, but
this had a narrative.
I couldn't work out what
had a list of different things you could do to mock it as well. Yeah. Like this was just like I got bored with mocking it.
I think it was like an hour, and half those things were not there. It would be passable.
Yeah,
you need like 17 different things, and
they just crammed it full of like tiny little snippets of random nonsense.
I didn't get what the animation was doing in there.
That's what it was doing.
That was the best bit of the whole thing.
And it was really bad. It was like, hey, that Boba Fett, he's a great guy. No,
he's Boba Fett.
He's not actually a great guy at all.
I thought that was the best part of the whole thing.
It was.
It was good.
Yeah. Han Solo's crumpled face in that looks how he sounded when he was recording it.
Yeah.
Completely out of his gourd. I wouldn't be surprised if he recorded that dialogue lying down with his eyes shut.
Yeah.
So what was your favourite part, Jeanette?
What is your least...
The end.
What was one of the memorable things about it that got your attention?
Oh, I think the softcore porn. What the hell is this doing in what's supposed to be family period?
Why is Grandpa slobbering in the corner over softcore porn?
What is that doing in here? Oh, and the Bar Woman.
Oh, the Bea Arthur.
There was Bea Arthur from the Golden Girls before she was on the Golden Girls. That would have been, Maud? You remember that?
Yeah.
Then there's Maud. Then there's Maud. And then
I know about it.
It was really discontinuous. All the things in there just made no sense.
Some of those bits were they could have been funny if they lasted, 10 seconds, not, 3 minutes.
The copious amount of sexual harassment that happened throughout it was pretty consistent.
I think we were about a third of the way through and that rag and bone dude, he was just making me really angry.
And he was constantly referring to, her being in the kitchen or,
It was the 70s.
Come on, we're family. Yeah. Give me a kiss. And then she talks to Luke Skywalker and he's like, give me a smile. And I'm like, what, do you think she'd be prettier if she smiled more, you pig? I couldn't.
The writing on it is just atrocious.
Makes you appreciate the running for...
When it was,
the overall effect of it, though, was, I thought, quite psychedelic. As in,
on drugs.
Feel like you've been on a drug journey throughout the whole...
Forget cocaine, you go straight to the magic mushroom.
This is the magic mushroom.
Yeah.
I think everyone involved was on something. Oh. Yeah. That had to have been.
They definitely would have had to have been to sit through it after it came out.
You can understand why, what's his name, tried to
George
wipe
Lucas.
This.
I absolutely can.
Apparently it screened from, you guys would know more of this, but I was reading IMDb because I was so bored watching it. But it screened in the US and Canada.
Yeah.
And then George Lucas caught it and then just managed to try and pull all the masters before it got shown anywhere else.
Sensible.
I still think it was hilariously awesome. I still enjoyed it. But in the sense that you all hated it.
I thought it would be fun to hate watch it. I didn't think I would get such a visceral hatred of it. Oh my God. I could not even.
And that's why I like it so much. Because it doesn't hold up well.
Yeah.
It definitely falls apart in your hands. People hate watching it, but I love the pain that you have all been through. Casually the best thing.
It is like waterboarding
someone showing you.
Mackenzie, what's up?
The amount of times that the human were there, it was like... It was like... The first bit was there for, like, more than 5 minutes.
Yeah. No subtitles, nothing, and you've just got three Wookiees arguing with each other and then having to figure out what they're arguing about.
And then these tiny men just doing dancing things.
Oh. Yeah.
It's just because there's nothing to connect you to what's actually happening.
I feel like if you were to redo it again, some of these things could have been really cool. Like, they legitimately could have been fun and a great way to showcase random cool things within the Star Wars universe. Like, the idea of circus people coming out to entertain someone who's distraught. That's cool.
What do a normal variety show, but make it sci-fi.
And that's what it was.
The thing is, they would have shown stuff like that in things like The Clone Wars, where they would have had people sitting around the holo table watching a gladiatorial fight.
I swear and if they did that in the Clone Wars, it would have cheapened the show so heavily.
That's the thing. That's the small stuff that...
But now I just really want a Star Wars variety show. Like the Big Gig or something like that, or the sideshow. But I want, full Star Wars people just...
There are a couple of episodes of Visions that touched on that.
Little rock band. Yeah. Little rock band people.
In season one, yeah. But, it just...
I skipped that episode.
That's the thing. It's just, I don't think it would work.
But was it like Jefferson Starship, which was that funny little prog rock version between when they did Jefferson Airplane and did White Rabbit back in the 60s, and then 1980s, We Built the City on Rock and Roll Starship. It was that in-between time when they just were just that.
Yeah.
No, I just keep forgetting the same band somehow.
Yes, and that was the thing. I'm like, oh my god, this was a band that it had this evolution over the decades, like a Spinal Tap kind of thing. But when they were shown on here, sure, they were probably really big with a lot of people when they were Jefferson Starship, but Jesus. That was excruciating.
It was.
Well, they probably thought of put them up there in front of everybody.
And also, what's major mock loops of today have spaceships in their names or something like that?
Yeah, we need a sci-fi scene in the band. That would do. That would have been a big get back in the late 70s.
Mm. But in regards to what you were talking about, how you wanted a Star Wars variety show, that's just kind of almost like Max Headroom daytime TV stuff. So not the TV show, but Max Headroom was basically a music... host sort of thing.
I'm thinking more like that
was quite different.
It was.
That was more like Countdown.
I'm thinking more like Doug Anthony All Stars, where they not Big Gig specifically. Doug Anthony All Stars was different.
Get
in the comments if I'm wrong.
Give us good engagements.
We did Doug Anthony All Stars.
So a lot of the episodes were always different. They had a small little plot line, but they used heavily clay animation and stuff like that throughout it as well. And there were just these snap bits of it makes no sense, but it's here. Yeah. It's a skit, and now it's gone. Star Wars skit comedy.
Minus the comedy, but
half the scene could have been half the length.
This was a Star Wars skit sexual harassment.
Well, that's the thing. It sort of took itself seriously in a terrible way.
If it went camp, it would have been better. It's just some of the segments were like, we'll do this thing and I'll play it straight, but badly. It's funny, but only if you're not playing it straight. And actually,
I feel really bad for Harrison Ford, who had to take that seriously.
It's okay, he wasn't really there. You can tell
he wasn't. He was not vibing it, and
he was very clear that he was not there.
No wonder he wanted to be killed off before the third movie.
If I have to deal with this shit one more time,
I love it when he was just like,
that,
he wanted his character to be killed off by the third movie.
What, the original three? The ones...
He wanted to be killed off in or before the Return of the Jedi. And so the reason they froze him in carbonite at the end of Empire Strikes Back is because they weren't sure whether he'd be returning.
But he's so good.
Oh, yeah, he's a great character and, he's really good in Return of the Jedi.
Part of what made the film so successful.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
And it drives me mental that he just hates Star Wars. He did. No, he did not want
it. No, as in, like, I don't begrudge him that, because it was a paycheck for him.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And it opened him up to a different lifestyle.
So many people fell in love with it. And so it's like, I mean, I understand that you don't love it, but, like, dude...
Yeah.
You got a massive name in the sci-fi world because of this.
Yeah,
yeah, but this is, people just don't like some genres. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, he was doing Indiana Jones. He did Star Wars kind of as a favour to George Lucas, I think, for the most part, anyway.
I think his career was at in the doldrums.
Harrison Ford had a few little roles here and there, but he was working as a carpenter.
Yeah, I was about George to say that, yes.
Yeah, he was doing some Reno work for him and must have mentioned he was an actor or something, and, you know, or maybe it was a, have you ever considered acting? And got a really big role.
I know that they talk about it on the late night TVs and stuff. There's constant conversations. At least I've seen it with Mark Hamill. And Mark Hamill will try and reenact the whole situation by voice acting, which is always fun. So if you want some good, like, information about Harrison Ford starting out in Star Wars, watch Luke Skywalker.
Because Harrison Ford's first big speaking role was in another George Lucas movie before he did Star Wars.
Yeah, I can see that.
And it had Ron Howard in it too. That guy that you don't know from Happy Days, but
yeah.
Is it American Graffiti?
It's American Graffiti. Well done, Cassandra.
It happened in my head.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that was the one that got him started. Oh, and then from there he went, okay, there's this other movie that I'm working on that's more of a passion project. I want you for a role in it. So
he'd been acting for about 10 years by then, by the Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
But not lots of little lots of little roles. I think he had one line at the beginning of Apocalypse Now, apparently. Yeah, but that's the thing. He 10 years of acting, but minor more roles. Struggling.
And minor roles in Hollywood, minor actors earn almost nothing.
Yeah.
It's only the big name actors that really earn.
Yeah.
And it was his trait that kind of got him through, and then he tried to act where it
But also nobody really expected Star Wars to get off the ground at the time. They just thought this is not going to be successful.
Well, Hamill didn't think that the movie was around him. He thought that he was a supporting actor.
Oh.
For Harrison Ford.
Yeah. And then he found out that, no, you're the main actor here. The main and he character. Was like, ugh.
Because I think he came from a daytime soap. He was on General Hospital or something like that. And he'd come straight from... He'd come straight from, like, you know, daytime soapy to suddenly starring in this movie. Of course he would have thought he was supporting. Yeah, yeah. Like, it made sense.
Harrison Ford had been in a few starring roles before, but not many, like, tall things.
Actual starring roles, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So his name being central on the poster.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, Judgment, the court-martial, something, something, something.
Okay. No but I idea. Really feel like this show, right, the holiday special, could have been better if it was purely showcasing Mark Hamill.
Yes. And that awful makeup. Do you still have the bad makeup in the last scenes? Yeah. It was still the same?
Yeah, all the way through.
Yeah.
He's just hilarious. As an actor, he just throws himself into really silly stuff.
Mark Hamill, yeah.
Yeah, Mark Hamill. And I think this was one of his first tastes at voice acting as well, which threw him down that path.
With the cartoon. Yeah.
And so I think that you showcase your silliest and most chaotic people in life, and they might have been able to drink a little bit more out of the show, make it a bit better.
Yeah. We had this conversation when we did the Muppet Show, but I even read a thing recently on Reddit where someone's saying there's about 3 or 4 different roles that he's had in the last year or two where he's absolutely smashed it out the park, and they're going, he's making such a comeback, and then there's all of these comments going, dude, he never left.
He never left.
He just does what he cares about.
Yes.
And he has fun with it as well.
Yeah.
He's got such an online presence as well, just throwing out memes and stuff. I think he put out a meme and it's like a trooper with a blaster and then 2 chairs from a church. And he's like, it took me too long to understand this, but it's pew.
Yeah.
Love it. Funny boy. Funny boy. Best boy.
I've got to say, he's in the Star Wars movies a lot, but he's underutilized, really.
Mm.
Now, decades later, when we can see what he can do, was it that he had to evolve into that ability, or was it always there and just underutilized?
Yeah. He was so good in the Muppet thing.
Yes.
Like, seeing that,
and that was the same era.
wow, he's actually great. But you don't get that sense from watching the Star Wars films. He was fantastic in that, and he played two very different roles and was convincing. He could connect.
He has been in everything Star Wars except for the prequels.
Yes.
Everything else he's been in.
Yeah.
He's voice acted droids in the sequels. Right. He's voice acted bounty hunters and stuff like that in The Mandalorian. He voice acted a chef in Mandalorian, like a robot chef. He's appeared in literally everything.
I don't know if he was in Clone Wars or Rebels.
I think he was just a minor speaking role. I read that he'd been in everything except
Of course, now he's known as the Joker.
I think he stepped down as the Joker recently.
Recently,
he did, yeah.
He's been the Joker for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm. So the animated Batman TV shows, he was Joker in that.
And they gave him a live-action role where he played a Joker equivalent character in DC.
In the Flash show.
In Flash.
Yeah, but he played the role in the original Flash TV show that was like in the 80s.
Yes.
And then again in the recent one. He was in the same episode, but I think he was a different villain.
He played seven characters in Avatar The Last Airbender as well.
Oh,
yeah. So he played Ozai, Fire Lord Ozai, Grand Admiral Fire Lord Ozai.
His credits are like
massive. I don't know why he's got
it's
like,
all the same character.
Yeah, it's all the same character. There is
just
no
different titles.
Yeah.
Phoenix Lord Ozai.
That's it, Phoenix Lord Ozai. There's no Grand Admiral.
But I think ultimately, and maybe we've touched on this because we always touch on Star Wars, but the directing in the Star Wars movies as a whole. Oh, look, I can't speak for the most recent movies, but the prequels and the original three, they don't get the best out of their actors directing-wise.
No.
And there are some actors who have been proven to be extremely good that have basically
take Jonathan Frinks. He's an incredible director. Actors that can direct
number one
as well.
From Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah.
Every episode he has directed has been the best and well received in the Star Trek universe.
Yes.
Because he milks every ounce
from
his actors.
He knows what he needs to ask his actors, whereas, I don't know.
George Lucas is very technologically focused. He started special effects.
You could see that in episode one, where he just totally failed to milk the actors that he had,
and the story,
who were good actors, very good actors.
Actors, when they're directing, tend to be better actors directors because they know what the acting side. Whereas directors that come up from a photography or technical angle are better generally with that and not so good with actors in
people
the industry.
People have made a lot of comments about how much of those prequel movies, so Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith and The Phantom Menace, were done in just a blue room. Where they were acting off of nothing, there was nothing around them, they were just on a green footpath in a green room or blue footpath in a blue room. But George Lucas heralded a lot of those special effects. They'd been used beforehand, but he properly released them. And so, in a way, those movies are more of a technical showcase than anything else.
Showcase.
Yeah.
Yes.
But as far as acting goes, I do really want to showcase Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen coming back to Star Wars after they had basically, like, Hayden Christensen got roasted so heavily, and the guy that
and
plays Jar Jar Binks as well.
And he was who I was thinking of, Hayden Christensen. He's actually a really great actor.
Yeah,
he's
so good.
He's on a farm somewhere because he got basically disillusioned with everything that he went through.
There were threats, which is...
Yeah, so did the younger kid.
Yeah, the younger kid had a really rough trot of it.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing there was a movie, it was around that era called Shattered Glass, and it's a biopic based on a journalist that was basically making up stories as fact. And, oh my God, like, the acting and the emoting that he does in that, and I'm like... Two different actors,
and I mean, Ewan McGregor's always been absolutely fantastic in everything he's been in.
He said that he got no direction at all, and most of the time he was standing around trying to work out what to do. But he was an established actor. He had a new body to do. He was a well-respected
instinct
actor.
Instinct and stuff like that
so
to go off.
So he could, yeah.
So well, Hayden Christian was stepping into that. It was a big role, big shoes.
It was life-changing.
And so poorly directed.
And so poorly directed. So he would have been paralysed just from the shock and almost the fear of just everything around him that it would have swayed his steps.
And now in like the May celebration of Star Wars, so in Star Wars on May the 4th, Disneyland does this big Star Wars Day sort of thing, and he walks out on stage and everybody is cheering him. That man, I think, would have broken into tears.
Oh, he did.
Being so well received. Yeah. And so did the actor for Jar Jar as well, because he came back and did acting again as well, and he was fantastic.
He's on The Mandalorian, or which one's he on?
Yes, he's in The Mando. For like a small scene. He reprised a role that existed, but only in Disneyland. So he ran an event in Disneyland where he basically took a whole bunch of kids and literally said, okay, so this is what it means to be a Jedi. And basically took kids that went to Disneyland and taught them the ways of the Force and stuff like that. So
that was his very job after.
Yeah. So he kind of became this instructor purely in the confines of Disneyland. And so it didn't exist in any external media. But in The Mandalorian, he appears in a flashback and reprises that role from Disneyland.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, that's amazing. It was a beautiful little nod to the amount of work he's done off of camera for Star Wars and that as well. And it was kind of, it was very much a redeeming moment for him as Jar Jar, but also a kind of a thank you love note almost to him and what he's done since.
Because I think I read somewhere he got a bit of a redemption in Clone Wars or one of the ones as Jar Jar Binks as well.
Jar Jar Binks is really well done in Clone Wars.
They redeemed it and they had that original actor come back and do it and able to show his range.
Jar Jar was actually really well done. And the first time you see Jar Jar, you go, oh no, how are we doing an episode on Jar Jar Binks? Is that really what we're doing? Haven't they learned anything?
But they did it well.
But it was so good. It was so, so good.
And how they could have done that well compared to how they did it.
Yes, that's the thing.
Is that the Jar Jar Binks Jedi
episode? Oh, the Bombad Jedi. So Jar Jar Binks is mistaken for a Jedi Knight in season one.
But then,
and
like,
all the droids are like, oh, we've got to find the Jedi. And he's just bumbling his way through everything in typical Jar Jar fashion. But it is, it's just hilarious. So everyone thinks he's the danger as Padme's just kind of gets captured but frees herself and escapes and then ends up solving the majority of the issues on her own. But everyone's so focused on the Jedi that it's just Jar Jar Binks wearing a set of robes.
Friends with the whales, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The whales.
Yeah, but alternatively, because I really enjoy this bit of fact as well, lore-wise, Jar Jar Binks is still on Naboo after the Clone Wars happens.
And
he is depressed in rags and blames himself.
Because he gave the Chancellor all the powers. He was constantly leading the votes to make Chancellor Palpatine give him supreme control of the Senate and yada, yada, yada. And because he now sees what the Emperor has done. He's not named in that piece of work, but it's like a novelization or comic or something.
But then, like, there are other novelizations.
Depressed Gun who blames himself for the rise of the Empire, and everyone thinks he's just absolutely crazy because he's a Gun. What would he have to do with the rise of the Empire?
Oh my god!
But then when Luke turns into Darth Vader, before he officially cuts out Anakin, he goes down onto Tatooine in a comic book and kills...
Oh, the flying guy that used to...
As a slave. It's not specifically said that it's him, but it's pretty obvious that it's him, and that is like a thing that he goes and does and then just yeets himself
off. So the external content after the movies adds a lot to the characters that really didn't have much at the time.
There are very few really good Star Wars content, but if you go and look at the books that have come out, there's an Ahsoka book if anyone wants to know what happened to Ahsoka between Order 66 and the Ahsoka series.
Yeah.
There's a nice little book. It's slightly non-canon because of how they wrap something up in Clone Wars with Ahsoka, but it's still really, really good. Yeah. And they touch on some of it as well in Tales of the Jedi, which is also great for like backstory on Count Dooku. And so everything else outside of the movies is brilliant.
Just stay away from the movies.
They really are.
I referred to The Mandalorian as being the gateway drug for Star Wars earlier on, but literally all the TV shows are. Growing up, I really enjoyed Return of the Jedi because I love space combat, and that had the big space combat scene and the three battles going on at once I thought were brilliant. But I wasn't like big into Star Wars. I had a toy lightsaber and stuff, and when the movies were released, everyone at school brought lightsabers into school and had lightsaber fights in the playground, and that was a lot of fun. But then Clone Wars came out, and I started watching Clone Wars and really enjoying it and kind of going, oh, Clone Wars is awesome, to the rest of the household. And Justin and Jeanette went, wow, Angus is really into Star Wars. And then one Christmas, they just bought me nothing but Star Wars. It was just blanket bombing of Star Wars content. And I'm like, I feel like I'm being picked on for this, but the show's genuinely good. And then, you know, it only took me like 13 years to convince Justin and Jeanette. Clone Wars and Rebels. And
there we're hooked.
And Clone Wars, like, really redeems Anakin as a character as well. Yes. They make it, like, you can understand why Padme was with Anakin. Like,
yeah.
The only problem with Clone Wars is it does skip the movies. And so that's a pity, well, because I would have thought that the Clone Wars goes better than the movies.
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing.
I guess that's the thing. They want it to be a bridge, so then you go off and watch the movies. Yes. So.
Yeah. Clone Wars happens between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. So it's the period of the conflict between those two movies.
Mm.
Literally, the Clone Wars. There's a lot of self-contained stories, but they're really good. And they're kids TV, but they definitely touch upon some heavy elements that's like, well, wow.
Very adult elements as well.
It starts out very kid-like and then
some of the
moves up to
design in Clone Wars was fantastic. Costumes and the
especially in later series. Yeah, in 2008, when season one dropped, it was kind of still very much, okay, that's the quality level we're dealing with. But it goes uphill from there.
It does really good example. It's really good at showing shape language, because it leans really heavily into what shape language is, which is a square, someone that's more square and broad is safe, lovable, strong sort of thing. Someone who's round is very safe. And then someone who's a triangle, don't go near that, is pointy, is dangerous. Yeah. And they do that really heavily throughout the entire show. So you can kind of see where people's allegiances lie just through the shapes, which is really interesting if you're starting out in doing animation design, character design, things like that. Because it's very basic, but very, very good.
And because you tend to see that when it's turned on its head. Using that, in that same way when we're talking about colour theory and how you use the colour theory to be able to convey a certain feeling, and people are drawn to certain people. Mm. That whole cliche of, oh, that looks like a bad guy, that looks like a good guy. Obviously, they use a bit of that.
Yeah, they do quite heavily. Mm. Yes.
So I feel like, not after watching that, because that was garbage. Yeah. But then after listening to you guys talk with such passion, I feel like I need to give it a go. But I just don't connect with Star Wars.
As we next year is
Redemption Year.
So now that we've done Star Wars,
we have to redeem Star Wars
and give you something good to watch.
That's why he got picked as the
Cutting plan.
I wish I was that really clever to think of that. That's genius.
Talking of which, Angus.
Food. What kind of food is this?
So I'm going to choose something I'm not a big fan of, something I don't really like, because this, I like the rest of everything else around it, but I don't like it itself. So I'm going to say the water chestnuts in stir fry, because I'm not a water chestnut person.
That is so specific.
Okay.
Why?
So you like stir fries, but not water chestnuts.
But not water chestnuts and stir fries. I'm not a fan. So, you know, there we go. So that's the food that's this.
Funnily enough, chestnuts in London smell fantastic as they cook them on the streets. And then you taste them and you go, there's nothing there. There's no flavour.
What food?
She's got a really good one.
It's got to be more exciting than water chestnuts. I'll let you.
It's not like a bad tasting food, but it's got like a little, joint kind of.
Okay.
Burger.
Maybe Cassandra needs to say it.
Burger. Oh, shit. Just listening to that was as confusing as watching the movie, so I think it works.
Burger, as said by a Wookiee.
You're aiming for the wrong Wookiee. We've learned today that if someone says do a Wookiee impression, don't go Chewbacca, go Lumpy.
I have no idea I can do this, I just can.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
So that was a great time.
I think it's not necessarily a food per se, but I think the bile that came up when I was watching that Diane Carroll soft porn part of the episode.
Luckily, we skipped most of that.
I
think we skipped a lot of the musical number.
I don't know, right? Like, it seems a bit weird. It seems a bit fetishized.
Especially considering they were the only person of colour in the entire thing, and they were a fetishized character.
Oh, you mean not including the blackface?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even talk about the blackface.
I wasn't including the blackface.
I was trying to give it the benefit of the doubt and thinking maybe it was a green face, but no,
it does look it very blackface.
Yeah. I think it was distracted by it being bad that the racial insensitivity on it was not the most bad thing about it. Well,
not the worst thing about it.
Yeah, it's like, that's a better way of phrasing it, but it's like,
It doesn't hold up. I think that's what we can take away from it.
It didn't hold up when it was
made.
It wasn't
even
funny.
It wasn't. No. It was like,
no.
Can you imagine
if
it had actually worked on it for
more than like 10 seconds? Was there any of it that was funny? Any of it at all?
No. Like, trying to do this joke here, it failed because it was like,
intentionally funny.
The 2D animation, was the only good part of it. But I don't think there was any comedy in it.
And there was one
besides how they decided to portray Harrison Ford's face.
That was funny.
That was just...
I just remember reading that one bit where basically, this good that Chewbacca's wife's buying was made by somebody and did it by hand solo. And I think everybody groaned and then forgot about it.
Yeah, because I think he was trying to convey the information that he'd heard word of Han Solo or something like that coming and was trying to sneak it through the Imperial officer standing behind him. But it was just, even didn't work in that scenario because there was none of the surrounding message. He just said Han Solo and it's just like, what is, what?
The whole thing was what?
Yeah. And the R2-D2 is R2-D2. They do that so often and completely forget the actor inside.
It's because, we all got so angry, didn't we?
The reason why is probably because the R2-D2 doesn't actually speak.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but they're still an actor.
I mean, maybe it's like a royalty ball thing. They can basically claim that it's not really an actor because it's just a...
Maybe, I mean,
they might have swapped him out.
Well, we got really angry, and then when I was looking on IMDb, they actually said, no, R2-D2 was played by remote control. They had a little remote control on
that.
So there was no actual person in there.
They tried to do that for A Force Awakens, and they're like, right, let's turn on R2-D2, and they turned the droid on, and they're like, okay. And it just sat there, and nothing happened. They got no life out of it, and they're like, let's get someone inside that.
But they did that with Chopper, who is a droid from Rebels. But then it turns out that Chopper was voice acted by Dave Filoni.
They had Chopper as Chopper. And everyone was like, who's actually making the noise? Who's doing it? There was rumour that it was Dave Filoni who was the director. Right.
And I mean, they couldn't have him on every single credit show because...
It was produced by, directed by, storyboarded by...
voice acted. Okay, so that was my number.
That was the worst thing we have ever watched.
And occasionally offensive.
Yes! Worse in the Room.
Officially.
Worse in the Room.
Brain damage even more. Yeah, I think the Room at least had substance to it that we could actually engage with.
It was engaging torture.
I've got to say that if I had to sit through this in the same way I sat through The Room, which is in the theatre where your eyes are held open by matchsticks and you have to watch,
turn your mobile phone off at the beginning of this viewership.
But I think the part of the appeal with The Room is I wouldn't sit and watch it at home with just me or one or two people.
Yeah.
The appeal is you go in a cinema and you all are heckling the screen.
So you were trying to work out the heckle points for this.
And there were none. It was just bad. I think we basically just had to yell.
It heckles
at there was a good minute where we just decided to make Wookiee noises. Just because we're like,
as one of the other inhabitants goes to fill their cup of water, we're just like...
It's fair enough because that's all they were making on the screen as well. That's all we could hear.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, we just mimicking what we're saying.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay, so that was it, I think. Thanks very much, everybody. And that's
Merry
the Continue
Christmas.
Club.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Happy Life Day.
Happy Life Day.
Happy Yuletide.
Drink.
Drink.
Gods, please.